gospel lesson today is Matthew 22, verses 34 to 40. Hear this word of the Lord for you today. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, upon the meditations of my mouth and our hearts. Be with us in this time and place, we pray. Amen. So don't you wish you could predict the future right about now? With all the craziness, with so much uncertainty, we've got a pandemic with numbers rising all around us, an election just days away, and somehow we're approaching holidays too. Holidays without some of our dearest family and friends. We have no idea what holidays will even look like during COVID. If we're honest, we want to know what's around the corner. Most people would prefer a plan, or at least a sneak peek. And most of us want to see what happens in our corner of the world. We want to see the fruits of our labor, the outcome of our efforts. Kind of like when your kids become old enough to have kids of their own and suddenly they understand what you were trying to do. Kind of like when you give decades to the same company and you finally get that promotion. Which is why the story of Moses not entering the promised land in Deuteronomy that we heard today just doesn't seem fair. Here he is at the end of his life, and God is not letting him enter the promised land. Moses is the one whom God called in a burning bush to go rescue the Hebrew people from Pharaoh and slavery in Egypt. Moses is the one who led them out through the Red Sea and all through the wilderness for 40 years on their way to the promised land. He spent his life working on behalf of God's people, and this is how God repays him? After waiting for all those years, you know that at least a part of him wanted to see the fruit of his labor, the outcome of his blood, sweat, and tears. Instead, God told Moses to hand the mantle of leadership over to Joshua, who would lead the people into the land of Canaan. Yes, Moses did get to lay eyes on that land, but he wouldn't get to settle there. And surely there was some deep disappointment, don't you think? This week, one of my Bible study friends suggested that maybe Moses was tired and just done with all that. Maybe. The Bible just says that Moses came to the edge of the land and there he died, having lived a very long life and done amazing things. The truth is, although Moses didn't get to the promised land, he did lead them through the development of their faith and identity as the people of God. This was the man who met with God on Mount Sinai, who received the Ten Commandments. His life and faithfulness helped shape the nation of Israel, and his legacy lives on still today. The first five books of our Old Testament are known in Judaism as the Torah or the Pentateuch. These first five books of the Hebrew Bible contain the law of God as given to Moses. It is the central, most important document for Judaism and central to our faith as Christians. Moses' legacy lives on beyond anything he could have ever imagined. It may have been a disappointment to not see the promised land, but his faithfulness became a model for all generations to come. What he did endures. His love of God, his love of people, it changed the course of history. It set the stage for who we are in the church today. So that's something I want us to think about leaving a legacy. We know what Moses' legacy was. The question is, what will ours be? What do you want your legacy to be? When you leave this world, what do you want people to remember about you? It might sound cliche, but I think it's an important exercise of our faith, especially in our current context. We should all be thinking about who we are and what we're living for, right? Because life is short, sometimes very short. And God asks us to live faithfully in each moment and each day. So why not ask, how can I leave a legacy? And because we are Christians, we are called to ask, how can I leave a legacy of faith? For Moses, his legacy was his faith in God, his trust, his obedience, even his failures. Moses was not perfect. During that wilderness time in a place called Meribah, the people complained about not having water, and Moses lost his temper. He cried out to God, and then he didn't follow God's command exactly. He was told in Numbers 20, verse 12, to speak to a rock, and instead he struck it with his staff twice. When he did, the water flowed for the people, but God told him, because you did not trust me enough to show me as holy before the Israelites, therefore you will not bring this community into the land I have given them. But you know what? Moses didn't throw a fit. He didn't give up after that. He just kept leading those often cranky crowds through the wilderness. Moses wasn't perfect, but God used him in a mighty way, just as God uses imperfect people everywhere to accomplish divine purposes on earth. And his life left this incredible legacy for all generations who would tell his story as a model for our faith. Right now, here at the end of October, we're entering our annual stewardship season. And you know that we talk about giving and generosity here all throughout the year. But in the fall, we traditionally make pledges and promises about the coming year, kind of like New Year's resolutions. This year on November 8th, we'll have the opportunity to bring pledge cards to worship or send them to the church offering our gifts for 2021. But stewardship is really about taking care of everything God has given us. It's really about realizing it's all a gift. We've been entrusted with it. And it's not just about money. It's about time, talent, and treasure. And ultimately, it's about leaving a legacy. Because ideally, what we do with our time, talent, and treasure will have a lasting impact on our lives and the lives of those around us. Which is where the great commandment passage in Matthew 22 comes in. Really, what Jesus is telling them is nothing novel or new. He is sharing two laws that every Jew would know. That first command, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, it was not new. It was from the Shema, from Deuteronomy 6:5, a prayer that every Jew would know and recite daily, which says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You must love the Lord your God with your whole heart, your whole soul, and all your might. The second command, to love your neighbor as yourself, was also not new. It comes from Leviticus 19:18, which says, You must not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your people, but you must love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. What was new was the combination of the two and what Jesus says next. He says, On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, it would have not been unusual for a rabbi at that time to be pondering greater and lesser commandments or a summary of the law. And it was not new to think about some laws having more to do with love of God and some more about love of neighbor. Kind of like the first four of the Ten Commandments have more to do with loving God, and the next six ones have more to do with loving neighbor. But Jesus' combination of the Shema and the Levitical law, and such a powerful statement about their purpose, was amazing and noteworthy. To those Pharisees who knew all 613 Jewish laws, all Ten Commandments, all the books of Moses, Jesus was saying, It all boils down to two commands. Love God, love neighbor as yourself. And the basis of these commands is really just one thing, love. Our own church's mission statement is really just those two commands. loving God and loving neighbor. And we emphasize that neighbor is anyone on the planet, not just people we like or naturally love. And you know what? When you think about loving God and neighbor, that's not about an end goal. We don't wake up one day and say, well, I did it. I've loved God. I've loved my neighbor as myself. Now I can cross that off the list. No. Loving God and neighbor are not goalposts. They're not outcomes. They are the process. They are the way we are to live day after day. So if we are always concerned with getting across a finish line in life, getting to the promised land, we might miss the joy and wonder of this faith journey, the traveling that reveals God's goodness, faithfulness, and provision. Part of leaving a legacy like Moses is living each and every moment faithfully, day after day, with our time, our talent, and our treasure. I think more often than not, we make choices to do what is right, and we don't get to see the outcome. We plant little seeds, and we don't get to see the trees that bud years later. We say and do little things today, and we don't know the impact that it has down the line, which is tough. But that's about leaving the growth and the results to God, and we are not God. I was listening to a podcast, a great podcast called Everything Happens by Professor Kate Bowler at Duke. And she's someone who's dealing with stage 4 cancer. And she's interviewing the Reverend Will Willimon of Duke University. And Will tells a story about this really annoying kid in church and how later he met up with the grown man. And this man told Willimon, "My life was changed by your ministry." So, smiling and thinking this would have been about a great sermon or some big mission experience, Willimon asked him, "What was it about my ministry that changed you?" And the guy said, "It was how you did communion. You said my name as you gave it to me. I don't think anyone else there even knew my name." Friends, we never know how what we say or do today might change a life. We never know which act of love will make a difference. That's why we just keep on loving moment after moment. You know, our own member, Phil Lutz, didn't know that his plans for a blessing box would come to fruition during a pandemic when people in Owosso were out of work and low on food. He just drew it up, proposed it to the session, and left it all to God. And now look at what that box is doing after his death a year later. It's being used over 100 times a week. Talk about a legacy of love. This is why we are called to love God and neighbor day after day. This is why we're called to give generously day after day with our time, our talent, and our treasure. Because when we do that, by the grace of God, it lasts. It endures. We are called to a process of love and generosity, not just a final product. Which is hard and frustrating at times, but it's part of us following Jesus Christ. And it's a good part of it. Just imagine how annoying we could be if we knew what would change other people's lives. Instead, we're called to live like Moses, wandering through the wilderness, loving God and neighbor, and trusting the future to God. That's what it means to leave a true legacy. Friends, hear the good news of the gospel today. We can leave a legacy of loving God and neighbor with our time, our talent, and our treasure, because we never know what God will do with that down the line. For the gifts we have received and the opportunity we have to love and give, let all God's people say, Amen.